Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today we welcome Dakota political junkies Roger Whittle and J.J. Perry to the program. Roger Whittle is Watertown Public Opinion's managing editor. Roger, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And J.J. Perry is executive editor for Aberdeen American News. J.J., hey, what's going on?
Not much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's get started up in your neck of the woods, JJ, because there's a bit of an email controversy, and it's not sort of the one that you normally expect in politics. Give
right.
us an overview of what's happening.
Well, information came out Tuesday at our Brown County Commission meeting, but apparently for some time, Brown County officials and some departments in the county have not been receiving emails that come from Google accounts. So if you have a gmail.com email address, which I think a lot of us have, some of those emails have not been getting to their intended recipients. So this all kind of came up at the county commission meeting. With department heads talking about not getting emails. We're talking about the veteran service officer, the county fair manager, the museum, everybody kind of complaining. So they're working on a fix, but right now the IT chief for the county says it's a problem on Google's end. So Google needs to get better at this whole internet and email
thing. Well, and isn't that the most frustrating thing when you ask what the problem is and they say it's on Google's end and where do you go next? So how and put into perspective, JJ, for us a little bit about, you know, it's a big deal. People are there's a lot at stake when you send an email to, you know, a public servant and you think it came through but you never heard back from them.
Yes, and you know, one story we've been doing a lot of reporting on is ag assessments here in Brown County and some of our surrounding counties that have not been have used a different formula for ag land assessments and taxing on those lands. So I don't think anybody's made this connection yet, except for commenters on our website and on Facebook who have said how many of these property owners who have been overtaxed have been emailing and not getting responses. It's very worrisome. You know, the county's IT chief did say that he's filled out all the proper forms with Google for help. You would hope, I guess there's really no way for any kind of government to really, they don't have a special hotline to Google or to Facebook or anything else to get any more action than you or I would.
Right.
So
are they doing anything, you know, sort of clever with the, you know, phone numbers or text messages or any other way to sort of help, you know, citizens reach out and make the contacts that they need in the meantime? Or have they been sort of, are they being criticized for being slow to sort of solve, you know, acknowledge the problem and address it?
I've heard nothing clever.
Okay.
And I think what's happening here is the commission wants to see who else they can get to help work on this. They've asked the IT chief to see if there's somebody else who can work on this problem. I think it's exposing a little bit of the problems that we have in South Dakota with not a lot of expertise on these kinds of issues. You know, everybody on the county commission is relying on one person, our IT chief, to manage that without a lot of knowledge of how many emails they're supposed to be getting or how things sort of work. You know, I know if I don't get an email for a few hours, I'll ring up the IT department and say, hey, you know, is my email not working? Because I know I get a lot of emails.
Oh, I just eat lunch then, JJ.
just clock out. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Roger, what do you think this sort of exposes, you know, how vulnerable we are in various ways to communication?
Well, that was my first thought when I read the story. And it was a great story, by the way.
Right.
Not your typical news story, but it is. So much we do nowadays goes over the internet. And if that's not available, we're in trouble. But I have a solution. I think everybody in Brown County should just send their emails to JJ, and then he can forward them on through his non-Gmail account. Because he just complained he doesn't get enough emails.
Right, so. At AberdeenNews.com.
Yeah, I could double-check for everybody. Yeah.
You can do that. Well, that, you know what, though, it's kind of what I mean, though, as far as, you know, coming up with something clever, having a clearinghouse of, you know, somebody in leadership who's saying send it to this email, and then for, I don't know, does that even work? I suppose that creates other problems of its own.
Yeah, I suppose it creates other problems when you figure that people can't just start a new email address that's how we might do it in a private company, I think. County government might have a couple more laps they have to take before they do something like that.
Interesting. Let's jump a little bit, Roger, and let's talk about some of the news coming out of Peer and look at what's ahead for the summer and summer studies. How important is this, when you look at what the legislature has decided to put time and resources into studying over the summer, what can we tell from their decisions?
Oh, I think it's a really big deal. I mean, this is a few summers ago they decided to study the juvenile justice system and came back with a package of bills that just totally revamped everything. We have to keep our lawmakers busy in the off season, so they earn their $12,000 or so. But this year they're going to tackle a really huge issue, which is mental health care in South Dakota, and it's going to be a tough job. And I'm sure they're going to come back with some proposals in the next session, and it'll be very interesting to see what they find are the problems and how they decide to handle them.
And didn't they sort of tackle that last summer as well with mental health care as it related to the justice system and people who were incarcerated? So this is a broader...
Right. They're taking a very broad... We're talking everybody in the state, including they're going to focus a little bit on K-12 students, but this will not just be the criminal justice system. This will be literally everybody in the state.
Mm. JJ, when you first saw this, what were your initial thoughts? What's its significance in your mind?
Well, I think both of these topics, mental health resources and the rising cost of special ed, both of these are really front of mind topics. I think a lot of folks are talking about these issues, and they're ongoing topics and problems that aren't going to go away. So, last summer, we were talking a little bit about mental health. We've done non-meandered water in the summertime in these study sessions. So this gives the lawmakers a little bit more time to go and do deep dives into these topics, both of which I think these are absolutely things that need to be addressed. I think that the couple that they declined to set up specific work sessions for this summer, school safety and mental health resources for schools, I think those are two that definitely need to be addressed and probably will be addressed somehow in the broader conversation.
Roger, your thoughts about what was left off and the choices that they made? Is that, how important is what they choose not to study over the summer?
Well, I think in this case that they're taking such a big bite. I mean, mental health care is a massive undertaking, and I think they're going to need all of their resources just on this topic. And school safety is always going to be an issue. So there's always bills coming up every year. And I was glad to see them tackle this one, kind of focus all their efforts on it and leave some of the other stuff until next summer.
JJ, any concerns about it being too big of a topic or too vague of a topic, or does that usually get sorted out in the first, meeting or so?
Well, I hope they'll find the nuggets that they can really latch on to that the state legislature can really affect some good change or something productive. There is a danger of some of these topics being too big. This is not the first group of folks who have ever tried to to tackle these topics. So I think the challenge will be to find where does state government have a role in this to facilitate some better results.
Right. Roger, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to following it throughout the summer and seeing who's involved and having some of those conversations. Do you have the same sense?
I do, and I'm especially curious to see the actual final legislation that they come up with.
Right, exactly. Let's talk about the potential changing nature or not of the State House with a primary coming up this summer in June, and the number of women who have gathered petitions to get on the ballot. JJ, what's going on in the state of South Dakota? Where are these women coming from?
Yeah, well, there was a group that was put together, sort of a I guess, a work group or conversation group after the last presidential election here. And so to try to recruit more women to run for office. So what we have here is 66 women, according to reports, have successfully submitted petitions to run for state office, which is beyond any other session, any other primary election that you would have that many. I see here that the Argus Leader kind of analyzed recent years and said that this is this would be women running for legislature now is above the 31% mark, which is the highest in recent history. I know this is a topic we've talked about here in Aberdeen. Our mayor just wrote a column about this and the challenges of getting women into elected offices and also into department head roles with the city. So this is definitely a good thing. I think more voices, the better. And definitely when you talk about our citizen legislature, these are part-time folks, who go back to work, go back to their towns at the end of the session. More representation of all those citizens, I think, is a good thing. So I think we'll see what happens. You know, they'll have to get through June, and we'll see how that shakes out first.
Right. And Roger, as I'm looking this, looking at some of the names, I'm wondering if it's balanced across the parties, or are we seeing mostly a Democratic female surge? Are we seeing the same kind of surge from both sides of the aisle, or not?
Well, we're not. We're seeing a lot more of these. Women who are running for the first time are Democrats this year. I think there's only one Republican and one Independent, if I'm not mistaken. But like JJ said, it's got to be a good thing. Our legislature should reflect the population of the state, and right now it doesn't. I believe I read somewhere that there's a chance that this year that women could be, if all the women running win, which is probably not going to happen, but if all of them win, we'd have a majority of women in the state house.
Interesting.
Which would, of course, be the first time that ever happened.
But of course, JJ, they have to get through a whole lot of incumbents and a whole lot of Republicans. So, you know, it's not very likely that will happen, but could this be a year that's sort of a minor tipping point?
Well, it could be because, we've talked a lot about the Me Too movement, and there's been reporting about some of the issues in Pierre as far as harassment goes and proper conduct at the Capitol. So maybe this is more front of mind for voters than it would normally be. Now, of course, you shouldn't just vote because you recognize the gender. You should be voting for the best candidate. So hopefully in that mix of people, there's the right candidate for everyone.
Roger, do you get the sense that South Dakotans are frustrated to the point where they will just vote for a challenger?
Well, that certainly hasn't been the case in recent elections, and,
right.
and I don't really see that happening here. I think South Dakotans are, a loyal bunch, and they will vote their conscience. I don't think there's a whole lot of frustration out there among the rank and file voters.
You think we mostly do our research and make smart choices, mostly.
Let's hope.
We'll all cross our fingers for doing your research and making a choice that's, with your conscience, not just the name on the ballot. Interesting, though. Well, it'll be fun to follow that as well. Let's before we wrap up, let's talk a little bit about the first week of April. Saw a couple noteworthy April Fool's pranks from political leaders, one from Governor Dennis Dugard, and the news or the governor's office sent out a press release. JJ, you want to kind of cover that one, and then let's talk a little bit about whether it's ever a good idea to to issue a prank on April Fool's Day if you're in state government.
Well, I would just say that I fall on the side of no more April Fools. The other 364 days of the year have sort of made that one, sort of redundant, I suppose. But Governor Dugard's office, and I think it was on Friday, so it was a few, it was during office hours. April Fool's was on a Sunday, but had sent out that North Dakota and South Dakota are just one big state. It was essentially the bottom line of this. The best part about this email, this little riff on the states, was Dugard's picture, which was a sort of a I think he was candid, but he had the most shocked expression on his face, which was pretty good. You know, we did send out here in the newsroom our annual email, our Killjoy email, that we say, don't do any April Fools. We can't afford that. Please triple check everything that gets sent to you.
Yeah.
It's just a, irony, sarcasm, satire. You know, I try to leave those to the trained professionals.
Right. Roger, how about you? Do you have an official April Fool's Day policy that no April Fools there in Watertown?
No, I just think newspapers need to be vigilant on these things every day of the
every
year.
Day.
I kind of disagree with JJ on this one. I thought when I read the press release from the governor's office, I thought it was hilarious. In fact, one of my editors actually got fooled and said, oh, we got to get this in the paper.
Right,
I said,
right.
Well, first of all, it's embargoed for at least for 2 days. And second, it's a joke.
Right.
But I thought it was a kind of a fun thing. You know, we get daily emails from the governor's press office, multiple emails every day. And it's his last year, term in office. And I just think it was a little joke that they were did to make all the journalists in the state chuckle. And I appreciate it. It was a good thing. I sent him a note back saying this is a good one.
Yeah.
it just shows that the governor has a sense of humor. And I think these days when you're in politics, a sense of humor might be a necessity.
Right, yes. And we did put the picture up on our website at listen.sdpb.org. And then JJ's right. It's worth seeing just the sort of the comic way that they delivered the news release. And then this news release came on April 1st from, it did come on April 1st, 6:51 a.m. from U.S. House candidate Neil Tapio announcing that he had suspended his campaign and changed his mind on trillion-dollar deficits. Roger, what are your thoughts about this one? This April Fool's joke.
This one was not meant to be a joke. Senator Tapio did this one to make a point and to get it noticed more than a normal press release would. But, you know.
Which is not to say that he had suspended his campaign, which is to say he was being sarcastic and making a point. Yeah.
He was just trying to make a point, and that's fine. It was a. No, I don't think very many people were fooled by that one either. So,
JJ, your thoughts on that one? Not as funny? Not as
I think that one was definitely harder to find the humor part and to understand what he was sort of getting at there in that press release. I saw one person say you knew it was a fake news release because it was so much shorter than the normal ones that are sent out. So I guess that was an indicator, but I would think that if I were running for office, I wouldn't do anything to give anybody any inkling that I'm not actually running for office.
Right.
So.
Well, you hear half the story. I mean, even as we're talking now, someone, you know, tunes in and tunes out, and that's what we're talking about. And if they don't hear the whole story, that it was, a prank email or a prank news release, that's how rumors begin. So
Exactly.
Right. J.J. Perry, executive editor for Aberdeen American News. Hey, thanks so much, J.J.
Thank you.
And Roger Whittle with Watertown Public Opinion. Thanks again, Roger. Appreciate it.
Thanks.